So, here we are, midweek, midday, with this precious opportunity to practice presence and to soak in the nourishment of community and the nutrient of, you know, clarity and the, I feel like, you know, maybe we're gifting ourselves a serving of like clarity and a dash of the condiments of, you know, connection and compassion here. And so it seems like a really good way to spend the lunch hour, doesn't it? So let's practice together, and to find your own gentle entry into practice. So that entry might be really taking in the community that's here, to carry that into your settling in silence. Like, if that's part of the nourishment, you could begin eyes open for a few moments and take in the screen before resting the eyes and letting go the image, and bringing with you the energy of these friends that we've sat together so many times in these years now. Yeah, and then at some point you might be ready to sort of simplify, to soften the gaze or to close the eyes. To feel the joy of a simple exhalation. That gift of letting go. That each breath reminds us of. This innate capacity to release and relax. And as a support for arriving and for settling, bringing your awareness to a felt sense of this body sitting here. Taking in the sensations of where the body is in contact with a surface. And inviting the body to rest into that support. Perhaps allowing the beginning of a letting go of any unnecessary efforting. Letting go of anything extra. Maybe that part that's really trying to sit still or trying to sit up straight. Releasing the extra striving that might be there, and while still maintaining the energy of dignity and devotion to really being alert, alive, aware. Giving the body some time and space to come into a natural, easeful alignment for this practice today. Collecting that awareness closer in towards the felt sense of the breath, wherever the breath is most noticeable in this moment. At the tip of the nose, or in the movement of the rib cage or the abdomen, maybe a sense of the whole body breathing. Letting your awareness land lightly on the breath. Like a butterfly landing on a flower. Or a honeybee. Yeah, there's just a sip of the moment, of this breath, and then the next breath, and this one right here. Sipping the nectar of each breath, not needing to hold on to this one, but just opening to the next moment of beauty. The ordinary miracle of this breath. find that you've flown away from the breath, maybe tempted by the flash of something brighter, bigger, just like the honeybee that might be pulled away by the girl in a pink raincoat walking by. There's no need to critique or judge, evaluate yourself for the detour. Lightly coming back and sipping the sensations of the next breath. The breath offers this continuity of a place to land. What's important is not the remaining with the breath, but the coming back to. Again and again, building this capacity for guiding awareness, for choosing to be interested in what's right here. Really noticing in the body what happens when you simplify, when you settle and sip from this one breath. And if there's any sense of a moment of ease or contentment, relief or peace, really sip that sensation as well. Know it fully in the body. The simple joy of being present. sipping the sensations in just this next breath. Maybe there's a sweetness here that you've never tasted before. What might it be like to be so interested in the breath, so present, that this breath feels brand new? As we slowly come to the final minutes of our practice together today, sipping the nourishment from this next breath. Drinking in the goodness of practicing presence in community, and recognizing that our circle of goodness is just one node in the web of goodness that is wrapped around the globe in this very moment. There are pockets of people practicing and cultivation of kind-hearted awareness. And so may our practice be an act of loving service. A gift to this world that so desperately needs to be wrapped in kindness. May our practice be an offering, an embodied action that supports the creation, little by little, of a world where all beings may know some measure of safety, ease, peace, and freedom. May it be so. So, this practice is an opportunity to, sip and be sustained by the cumulative goodness of all these little moments that we're awake for, that we're in connection with. And the nourishment is actually in that quality of relationship. of the presence. It's not actually in the flavor of the nectar. You know, we have a preference for sweetness. But you can actually feel sustenance, nourishment, ease, or peace in really sipping, really being present with a moment of sourness, or saltiness or spiciness. You know, just like we can be nourished by different flavors of food, we can be nourished by different flavors of moments, and we may have our preferences for the tastes that we like, right? But it's a little bit like when you go to a buffet. Sometimes your favorite food's not on the buffet, but you're on the road and you need to eat, right? And so life is offering up this buffet right now of some things that many of us may find quite unpalatable or unpleasant. And yet, it's what's on offer, right? So how do we relate to this in a way that allows access to more peace in our heart, and in turn allows us to contribute an energy of more peace into this field of the world, you know, so that we're contributing in the direction of well-being for all beings? And as we've discovered over these 2 years, there's many different lenses through which we can explore this. And one of the lenses I thought we could explore in the next couple of weeks is sometimes one of the shorter lists that is known as the three characteristics, and how this framing might help us with, you know, sipping from these different flavors of experience and understanding more this path to freedom. You know, freedom for ourselves, but also freedom on a larger scale too. You know, I'm sitting with many people in the midst of all the tenderness that's happening, and there's this sense of like, what do I do? You know, how do I meet? How do I meet what happened in Uvalde? Well, how do I meet, you know, I was reading the headlines, which many days is all I can consume from the news, the headlines, right? Not the details. You know, I read one headline that there were 14 mass shootings over Memorial Day weekend, right? You know, it's like, really? Really? How do we do this? And we do it in different ways. So one way is how we relate to the difficulty itself, and that's where the characteristics can be helpful. And today I thought I'd just provide like a little introduction, and then we'll do a deeper dive into each one in the next few weeks. And then the other way is that we drink in the nectar of the goodness, you know, of the goodness of connection, of, you know, good, sometimes it's called spiritual friends. Sometimes that word spiritual doesn't resonate, you know, substitute something else, you know, good caring friends, good, friends with integrity or of heart. Yeah, so sometimes it's that goodness of Sangha. Sometimes it's the goodness of a moment of beauty. Sometimes it's the goodness of living in a wholesome, non-harming way. I might have shared this phrase last week, but I've really been carrying it around with me from one of my teachers, Kitty Saro, and he references the teaching of, I think it is a phrase from the Buddha, I have to go back and look, but I just love it. He talks about nourishments of happiness. Nourishments of happiness. And I just so that, like, it just makes me happy. That phrase makes me happy, you know? There's nourishment in goodness. And sometimes it's the goodness of seeing the suffering or the pain of the world, of like not ignoring, of not overriding it. So this is our balance in this practice, you know. So as we look at the characteristics, it's not just about holding the difficult, it's also about how to really hold and meet and be with the wholesome, the goodness in the world too. And so the three characteristics are, what's often translated as suffering, impermanence, and not self. And there's a lot packed into each one of those that we'll look at. And one of the things that I think it's nice to put on the table, like right from the beginning, and many of you have heard this, but I find every time I hear it, it's a good reminder. You know, this list starts with suffering, or this word dukkha that actually doesn't have a perfect translation, and suffering is not the only translation, and we'll look at some other ones next week. But it's one of actually the most misunderstood teachings in this path, and I actually think in many spiritual paths, because most spiritual paths have some acknowledgement of the difficulty in life and also, you know, the heart qualities to meet that difficulty. And this is the way that, you know, the more Buddhist traditions describe it. But it's really pointing to the truth that it is hard to be a human, and sometimes how it gets taught or framed is that life is suffering, which is actually not what it is about. It's just an honesty. It's sort of a fearless honesty that says, being incarnated in a body is not for sissies. I'm sure that's not exactly how the Buddha would say it, but I borrow from my, you know, my grandfather that as he aged, and, you know, he lived to be 99 and a half. And, you know, he would just be like, this getting old, it's not for sissies, you know, it's like, it's just not. So there's this, you know, difficulty of living in a body and living in a world that's imperfect. You know, this characteristic is really about the imperfection. And there's a lot of freedom and joy in recognizing that, because what it is inviting, what each of these characteristics is inviting, is an unhooking. So we get tripped up because we really often are we're arguing with life. We want it to be something else, whether it's on the small scale of, oh, today was my free day on my calendar, and I was going to get to garden today, and it's pouring rain. You know, so rather than like seeing that as a blessing for the earth, it doesn't fit my agenda. You know, so sometimes on a small scale, we're just fighting with what is. Or on a larger scale, like injustices like children dying in their classroom is not supposed to happen. And so it's not that our heart should not be quivering or quaking or collapsing in the face of such heartbreak. But when we add in the energy of it shouldn't be like this, there's an extra layer of tension and suffering. So the way we relate to the difficulty is important. And that difficulty is intertwined with this longing that is deep within us for stability, reliability, permanence. Like, let's just put concrete posts in the ground and build on it. And mostly we're building on quicksand, moment by moment, day by day, life by life, you know, like it's not that, right? We're not building on concrete. And then there's this sense that, you know, there's a me that's in charge somewhere in there that's like driving the show of it all. And that's not so solid, reliable either. So when we can have a curiosity and I find a sense of humor, you know, not disrespect for what's happening in the world, but just to take all of this with a bit of grace and where it's appropriate, a good humor, there's the possibility of freedom, of unhooking. And so I'd like us to unpack each of these in the next probably 3 weeks. And then we're also going to bring in maybe mostly into the practices, the balancing factors of like sipping the nectar. You know, today it was just the nectar of presence, moment by moment. You know, and some of the nourishment is in joy or in gratitude or in some of these other heart qualities. So I'm that's sort of what I'm thinking of playing with, and we'll see how that lands as I put you in small breakout groups today, and then see you know what's alive for you as I bring this forward, and then you can bring back some thoughts to me, and we'll see if that's where we really go. But that's kind of where. What's been bubbling up, and so I'll just create breakout rooms, and we'll let you have the gift of a little time with one another, and let me just see. Yeah, enjoy each other's company, and I'll see you all back here in just a little bit. Welcome back, friends. I'll just see if there's any wise reflections that want to be shared in the common space. Beautiful. Yeah, I love it. I can hear the Sounds like the soothing quality of the breath with each sip. Please, Julie. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that real gift, the nourishment of community. Yeah, it's really precious. You know, and I think there's this story which I've probably shared, you've probably heard, but one of the Buddha's senior students or attendants, Ananda, came to him one day and said, "Oh, you know, blessed one, you know, isn't it true that like half the holy life is the Sangha, is the community?" And like the Buddha's response was, "Say it isn't so, Ananda, say it isn't so. The whole of the holy life is the Sangha. It's this community." And you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, one of his teachings is that the next Buddha will be the Sangha. And I really think about the world that we're living in. It's like what we really need is all of these little, you know, pockets and gatherings and communities to like wrap themselves around the world. You know, that this dispersed wisdom and compassion, you know, in the hearts and the minds of the many, feels like really good medicine, at least to me, when I think about the world right now. Yeah. Any last reflection that feels like it wants to be spoken before we pause for today? Yeah, welcome back. So lovely to sit with each of you, and I wish you a peaceful week and look forward to being together again with whoever can be here next Wednesday. Take really, really good care.